Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Hey, instead of talking about COVID or coronavirus, I thought I'd share something a little more inspirational and uplifting. I want to share a story of a very important person in my life and his mindset and how that mindset helped shape who I became. This episode is a reflective opportunity for you to think about how important people can be in our lives, how important a single phrase or look can be in our formation as leaders and people. On one of my earliest episodes, episode 12, Point A, The Mindset of a Four-Time Cancer Conqueror, I interviewed Jim Brindley, a retired attorney, entrepreneur, and leader. Jim is a fascinating character and someone who I came to love because he had integrity like no one I had ever met before him and a mindset that made my optimism feel almost amateurish. Before I get into the lessons I learned from Jim, I want to take a moment and ask you to reflect upon how you are around others. How true to oneself are you? Do you speak truth to whomever you are around? Do you coach from the heart? Do you look into the eyes of those you serve and hear their needs and see what has to be done for them? Leaders are people who have influence, and the best leaders serve with integrity and reflection. They work to find out what it is the other people need, and then they reflect upon it and share their love through coaching. Buffalo leaders charge into the situation, unafraid of the consequences, because they charge into the situation with optimism and a true belief that they won't weather the storm, but run through it in an effort to be better for others and, as a result, themselves. As a leader, we are looked to by those we serve in times of need. We are studied. Others learn from us, and our words and actions carry weight. They influence, they grow us, and they build future leaders. So as we charge on through a world of unknowns, we see ourselves being needed in new ways, and as a result, we have to be hyper-conscientious of our ability to be great for others. So about 10 years ago, when I was in a meeting with this confident man named Jim, he got my attention. Jim Brindley's a handsome guy, about 6 feet tall, with snow-white, well-groomed hair, and he's put together. A man who looks professional, loves his wife and their dogs, especially the most recent golden retriever named Louie. Jim has diverse interests. He loves people, politics, history, law, golfing, beer, and the outdoors. He's well-read, well-traveled, and has immersed himself in life. He also taught me about living life and came into my life at just about the right time. I met him while we both served on the board of directors of a nonprofit nature center in Wisconsin called River Edge. Jim and I were thrown into a unique situation as there was a transition in leadership and the board. Jim and I went from being members of the board to members of the executive committee very quickly, but without really knowing each other. We were just getting to know each other, and I was a little intimidated by what appeared to be a gruff guy. He spoke swift, didn't mince his words, didn't seem to mind being totally honest. He studied people, heard others out, rarely interjected, never argued, and always offered solutions. I knew very little about Jim in these first meetings other than he was a very successful lawyer from Milwaukee and now an entrepreneur. During our third or fourth meeting, the executive team started to get into a tense discussion about next steps, and I was sitting there in a suit and tie that morning before heading off to the office. And I didn't agree with something that Jim had said, so I engaged him. I kind of puffed up a little bit, straightened out my tie, and I shared my thoughts. And it was at this moment that a spark was created and our friendship and kinship was born. Jim, sitting with his legs crossed, took off his reading glasses, pointed them at me, leaned into the table, and with a big disarming smile said, "Listen, Ted, I've been dealing with a-holes in suits like you my entire life, and let me tell you something." Well, the whole table just started to laugh, and I was in tears laughing. He knew what I was doing, and he called me out. He completely disarmed me, had me reflecting, and you know what? He was right. From that moment on, a great friendship emerged. But I saw Jim as one of those guys in my life that was more of an angel at the right time. Jim's 23 years older than me. He had literally a lifetime experience before I was even born, and he's wise. He isn't afraid to share his wisdom, and he has great influence in my life. It's like you and those around you. Every minute of every day, you are doing things that make a great difference in the lives of others. And as a leader and a person, it's critical that you carry a great mindset when interacting with those you love. those you serve, and those you've never met. So as time went by, Jim's voice would find its way into my thoughts and reflections. We'd meet for the occasional beer, and he would want to know what I was up to, and I wanted to pick his brain. He would tell me that I looked horrible or I looked good, and he talked to me like no other person. He was honest. He called it out. He had integrity. He cared. And he would guide me through tough times. We both enjoyed it. Jim is remarkable to me because in addition to his integrity, he is the single most resilient man I have ever met. You see, if you have not, please go back and listen to episode 12. Jim, in that episode, had just beaten cancer for the fourth time and was enjoying life. Well, after that episode, a few months later, Jim was diagnosed again with cancer. And once again, and for the fifth time, Jim Brindley and his amazing mindset kicked in. Jim never intended to be a Sherpa for me, but he played that role. When he was diagnosed with leukemia and had to again go and endure more treatments, more pain, more chemo, and more uncertainty, he behaved in a way that changed me along his journey. We would get together and talk, and he would say things to me that changed me. I looked at him as a guy living day to day, and as a result, his words had great weight upon me. When I was contemplating some major life decisions, he'd say very simple and pointed things that just brought clarity to my thinking. He was such a brave man and yet acted so casual about his battles. I mean, who gets cancer 5 times and just keeps winning? A man with an amazing mindset. So when I hear Jim's voice in my head, I hear him in one of 5 ways. And that is what I want to share with you. Jim Brindley's 5 mantras that changed my life. The first is his mindset. Jim is insanely optimistic, and he credits it to a golf book he read by Susie Meyer, a golf pro from Arizona, entitled Golf from Point A. The book is a simple premise, but a difficult one to maintain. Jim explained it to me many times, and when he was faced with a challenge, he would simply say, well, it's a new point A. You see, in golf, each time you strike the ball, it lands in a new spot, and that new spot, regardless of how glamorous or ugly the shot was, is a new point A. A fresh start to the challenge of the game. In other words, it's a new starting point. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to play it where it lands. You have to play forward without thinking or worrying about what happened that got you there. You can't let past experiences get you down because there's nothing you can do about it. And you have to do everything you can in your new point A. So when Jim was diagnosed with cancer, he would say, tomorrow's a new point A, Ted. When he got his treatment regimen, he would say, I have a new point A. He'd break things down into these little steps, but always moving in the same direction, forward. If the treatment regimen was successful, he'd be pleased and say, a new point A. And if it needed to be prolonged, he'd say, a new point A. I hear his voice as we are living through coronavirus a lot. Schools will be closed for 2 weeks. Well, no, okay, that's a new point A. Then schools will be closed indefinitely. Another new point A. Then businesses are closed and restaurants. Another new point A. It's powerful because a minute by minute and moving forward attitude, which fuels optimism, changes your life. I mean, think about Jim. You get cancer and you're like, well, this is where my ball landed and my only choice is to play it right here. I certainly am not going to quit, is how he always acted. If Jim ever had doubt-filled moments, I never saw it. He was always looking forward with amazement at the opportunities he had presented in front of him. And that's the second major takeaway from Jim. The second mantra I hear in my head when I think of Jim is that he lived life amazed. When he was first diagnosed with leukemia, I would call him, and in my mind, I was calling to cheer him up. I was calling to motivate him. Wrong. I left cheerful and motivated. Each time he went to the doctor or specialist, he'd ask a million questions. He'd research, and he would live life amazed. You're going through cancer and cancer treatments. You are being tortured with chemotherapy and radiation, and each time he's thinking to himself, wow, this is really cool science. He'd be like, okay, Ted, the first thing that they're going to do, and I realize this sounds very scary to you, Ted, but they're going to give me this chemical treatment. Then I'm going to sit in a chair and get radiation. I'm likely to lose all my hair, but it'll grow back, and then I'll be able to golf in about 9 or 12 months. I mean, I'm not making this up. This is how this guy acted. He'd go into detail about his doctors and nurses, and he'd study all of them and everything around him. He was constantly learning and living amazed. In my head, when I hear his voice, I hear wonder, curiosity, and amazement. Now, I personally am trivial by nature and curious, but Jim, when faced with overwhelming obstacles to survive, says, okay, this is my new point A, and I'm going to learn all about it. I feel as though I could have gotten cancer treatments and been sick, and Jim could have taught me and walked me through the whole process. That's how much he immersed himself in what was going on. He would cut through all the feel-good talk and get to facts, processes, and treatment. I'm certain that Jim, as a patient, is 1 in 100 million for his wonder and lack of being BS'd by those around him. Which leads me to my third great learning from Jim. Number 3 mantra is this: life is too short to put up with BS. Jim was just over his first bout with leukemia, and we met for a beer on a Thursday night. He was early and I was late, so he started to eat at the restaurant, and he was having a quesadilla and drinking a beer, and with a mouthful of food as I walked in, he turns and looks at me and he says, "Geez, Ted, you look like hell." Classic Jim Brindley. No mincing words. I was so excited to be with him and have a celebration beer that his words caught me off guard. As a matter of fact, I had had a day where the only thing I was looking forward to was seeing him and kissing my family goodnight. I ordered my beer and I wanted to talk about him. I mean, here's a man I adore, and he's 90% back to health, and I just want to be with him and celebrate his victory. And he did what he always did. He started in on me. He didn't ask me what was going on. Instead, he started to tell me how I looked ashen, exhausted, and depressed. I was like, "It's nice to see you too, Jimmy." He put his hand on my shoulder, asked me to tell him what my week was like, and then he looked at me with his intense and caring eyes and said, "Ted, life is too short for this amount of BS." He shared some gym wisdom and we talked for an hour. And when I left the restaurant, I felt this overwhelming urge to change the direction of my life. And the next morning, when I went for a run, I just kept hearing his voice in my head. Life is too short for this BS. Life is too short. His gentle hand on my shoulder and care for my condition was intense and refreshing, and I couldn't get it out of my head. I mean, this guy just kicked the snot out of cancer. He's alive and wise, and he tells me, "Enough, Ted, change your trajectory." Leaders are leaned on all the time, and if we don't care for ourselves or surround ourselves with people who will look after us, then we will bury ourselves and drown in the BS that we don't even recognize. Within the next 2 months after that conversation, I applied for my current job and moved forward with a plan to find my true self again, and only as a result of hearing Jim's voice in my head constantly. The fourth mantra that I hear in my head from Jim is not what he said, but a mantra I created as a result of his actions. When Jim was getting treatment for cancer, he said something to me on one of my visits to see him in the cancer unit. He told me about a trip he was planning for him and his wife. I sat there kind of dumbfounded. I was like, "Wait, you don't even know if you're going to make it through this. Don't you want to see if you'll beat cancer first?" But he planned a trip. He told me all about them going out west to see the mountains and spend time just living out their love of Wyoming and the Grand Tetons with their dog Louie. I was sitting there amazed at his optimism. I mean, I'm sitting there in a mask, in a cancer unit, having completely scrubbed off before I could walk in, listening to these intense therapy treatments he was taking and how he had no immune system at all, and here he is telling me, "I'm going to take a trip in a few months." When I left that day, I said to myself, if I ever fall ill, I'm planning a trip. It was a great signal to me that he was going to win, that he was going to be all right. Here he is living from point A to point A, but his target is a trip to the mountains. Everything about him made sense after that visit. As leaders, if we don't have a goal or a target, then what are we doing? Why do we exist if we don't have something to achieve or somewhere to go? Here's a guy who would speak to me like a Vegas odds maker. He'd say things like, "Okay, so I got an 85% chance that this will work. There's a 72% chance that this will impact my own mobility in the future and my mind, but there's a 90% chance that this or that and this and that and 15% chance of this." But he heard all those numbers, and he always heard them in his favor. He believed and lived that he was within those percentages. Who does that? Jim does. So when you fall ill, be like Jim. Plan a trip. The last thing that he demonstrated to me, and the final mantra, is gratitude. Jim's beautiful wife, Marge, has been his co-pilot on this entire journey. And every time I was with Jim, I mean every single time, he would talk about his wife, Marge. Marge is a pretty awesome person herself, and Jim would be quick to tell you that. And I witnessed it as I watched her the last few years care for a fighter. Whether I was on the phone or in the hospital, a bar, a trail, on FaceTime, or his home, each time Marge wasn't around us, he would tear up a little bit and talk about the amazing things his wife had to do for him and what she had given up as a result of helping him. How he was putting her through so much and how she was making sacrifices for him. He was so grateful. And I'm sure his marriage was like all of ours, but he was grateful that his wife was there by his side, that she made sacrifices as a result of his illness, and that she loved him. The last mantra is simple. Be grateful for the sacrifices those who love you make for you. We each have people that we serve and love that go over the top for us, and we need to make certain that we tell them frequently that we are grateful, that we notice, and that we appreciate what they do for us. 5 ways I hear Jim in my head. You got a new point A. Live amazed. Don't put up with BS. Plan a trip and be grateful for those that love and serve you. Jim's voice is crystal clear in my life, and I've known him for a decade, and I live by his words. So a few months ago, Jim was battling once again, and this time he told me the odds. And the odds were not good. The treatments were becoming debilitating and eventually would have to be stopped. And every morning, when I said his name in my daily reflections and prayers, I thought, I wonder what his point A is today. He's wearing down, and his 70-year-old plus body was not accepting his mind's power. I sent him notes, called him, FaceTimed him, but he was isolated, in the cancer unit, and then eventually his home. Finally, the treatments were to a point where the cancer was winning. But Jim was not going to be defeated. So it was with great joy that a few weeks ago, when his beautiful wife Marge called me and said, Jim would like you to come see him. I was ecstatic. I went to their home, and Jim was waiting for me, proud in his chair and expecting me. Cancer and the treatment had taken their toll, but there were those intense and loving eyes of his. He was proud, and we were both excited. I sat there for an hour or so, and we talked. We talked like we would have many more tomorrows. He was strong for me, and I knew he had to really put effort into our conversation. We talked about him. He joked about how hot Marge was. I asked him for advice, and he gave me some good old Jim, typical, to-the-point, and well-thought-out advice. He humbled me, but then he shocked me. You see, as we were closing out our conversation that afternoon, he said the exact same words to me that my grandma Jenny said to me the last time I ever spoke with her when she was in hospice, and I knew I would never see her again. It's the 6th mantra, and one I never thought I would hear from another person again. Here Jim was, living in home hospice, watching golf, and talking to me, and he repeated the words that I hear when I hear my grandma Jenny's voice. They both said, with a life full of wisdom behind them, the exact same thing to me. It all works out in the end. After 90 minutes of talking, and both of us knowing this was the last time in person we'd see each other, he pokes my soul. I was stunned, and even said to him, hey, that's the last thing my grandmother ever said to me. And in his typical matter-of-fact way, he said to me, well, that's because it's true. I drove away from his house with a filled heart. No remorse or sorrow, just filled. Filled with his influence and a mind full of his voice. While memories of our time together will fade, his voice will ring true forever. And I got to be on his journey. So the other day, when I reached out to Marge and she told me that he had passed, I thought immediately, new point A, Jimmy. Jim didn't give up. His body did. We have people in our lives that we get to be around, that we get to learn from, that we get to benefit from, and we get to hear forever. Jim's voice will never be lost in the chaos of my forever energized brain, because his mantras will ring true for me, and he has forever changed my trajectory. As you move forward in your days, accept your new point A and know that it'll all work out in the end, because we get to live this great journey called life. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you live in amazement. Can you adopt a point A mindset? And stop today and demonstrate gratitude for those that love you. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please share this episode on your social media platform and rate this episode. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Smart Thinking Podcast. Finally, with all that's going on in the world, I want to put things in perspective. We get to be here, and we get to live. And Jim and my grandma are right. It's all going to work out in the end. So as you and we struggle with all the ways in which the world is changing with a virus running through our communities, remember to simply live and love. We're facing a new point A every day, and we have to accept where it is that our feet have us standing. I mean, we get to be here. We get to serve others, and those around us benefit from our very presence. I know that Jim and I were put together for a reason. We learned from each other. We're fascinated by each other's experiences and genuinely admired each other. Who in your life is like that for you? I'm fortunate to have many, but there's only Jim's voice in my head when I need to be humbled, when I need to be optimistic, and when I need to be motivated. I mean, who plans a trip when they're given a diagnosis of a completely uncertain future? And who lives amazed at all the things being done to them? Well, a leader does. A person who's reflective, and a person who optimistically runs into the storms that life hands to them. In this story, it's a buffalo named Jim. And if heaven is the way I imagine it, well, he's playing golf with old friends and family and explaining all the amazing things that he got to be a part of in life. This week, be reflective. Be amazed. Don't put up with BS. And be a leader charging through your days optimistically, and modeling to others how to live.
I said, please write up on the board all of the drugs you're going to infuse me with over the next 5 days. And then, so the next day they'd start out, and I said, please tell me, what is today? What drugs are we going to have? And that was my point A. And so all I focused on was that, and at the end of the day, that was it. That was all gone. Well, now I got a new point A. That's the next day. And Marge, my wife, and I, we said it's too daunting when you think of it. They said they were going to do 8 cycles of chemo. I didn't have to have them. But I thought, I can't deal with that. But I can win this battle one day at a time. So every day was point A. And all I wanted to know was, what do we got to do today to beat this? And that's really what guided us through the whole thing.